Welcome to Brain Junk. I'm Amy Barton.
And I'm Trace Kerr. And I do have a cold, yes. But today is everything you never knew you wanted to know about Band-Aids.
I want to know many things. Did you buy pictury ones for your children, or were you kind of Scroogey?
Oh, here's the thing. I kind of felt like the pictury ones didn't have enough of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan of the fabric-y ones because I feel like they stay on better.
Yeah.
But okay, so 2024, I just figured this out when I was doing research, is the 100th anniversary of the eponymous Band-Aid.
Oh, that, so they've had them since the 20s, huh?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I went to the Johnson & Johnson website for the history of the Band-Aid, and I stayed for a Band-Aid quiz.
You can do a Band-Aid. That's fun. I'll do any quiz.
Same. I got 90%, but I may have done some research and also cheated. So... I had already been looking into it, and then I took the quiz, and I was like, I'm so smart. It was all. But way back in the 19s, the late 1900s, you could.
When you and I were young?
Yeah. Way back then, a million years ago, back with the mammoth, you could buy Band-Aids in a tin.
Yes. You can again now. They're like $5 more. Than regular Band-Aids.
Ooh, I haven't seen that with the flip-top lid. And
I walk down that row. I'm not even there for Band-Aids. I'm there for whatever else is in that row. And I'm like, I probably need 4 tins of these fancy Band-Aids. I don't, but.
Well, no. But I mean, that tin, it was just the right size to fit in like a shirt pocket. When I was a kid, you had like fishing supplies in there. It's almost like the cookie tin that's actually a sewing kit.
Yes, exactly.
The number of times you could open that Band-Aid tin and it would not be Band-Aids was about 50-50.
Yes. Yeah. Gum, it fits nicely in there.
Yeah. Okay. So the story of the Band-Aid, let me take you back.
Take me back.
Back in 1920. Josephine Knight Dixon. Now, Johnson & Johnson says she was accident prone around the kitchen. I feel like she was a woman in the kitchen getting burns and cuts. That just happens.
Yeah, because the kitchen was a lot more dangerous in the 20s.
100%. Yeah, keep her away from the knives. But back then, we didn't have Band-Aids, so she would just wrap her fingers in a bit of spare fabric that she had lying around, you know, and it would come untied and it would get dirty. So she told her husband about this issue, and he was a cotton buyer for Johnson & Johnson. And the cotton that they were buying, they were using that to make gauze.
Ah, okay.
And they had been making that for a while. Well, so he was like, okay, let's make a solution to this problem. So he brought a bunch of samples home. I like to think that he just kind of went into a supply closet and he was like, oh, let's take a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Some sticky notes, a few paper clips, a red stapler.
Don't look in my handy dandy leather briefcase. There's nothing in there. But Earl, that was his name. Earl brought a bunch of samples home, 3-inch wide surgical tape and cotton gauze.
So the surgical tape already existed then?
Yes, it did.
Okay.
Although it was 3 inches wide. So it was like an ace bandage kind of size. And he cut a piece about 18 inches long, and he laid the gauze, a strip of it, down the middle. So if you imagine, you know, this long rectangle with the gauze down the middle of it. And then he put a fabric layer on top of that and rolled the whole thing up. Because the fabric layer would keep the sticky bits from sticking to themselves.
Okay.
And then, voila, she could unroll this roll a little bit and cut off a strip the size that she needed to put on a cut.
So his big roll was like a racing stripe all the way down, but then when she cut off, it would look like our traditional Band-Aids.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, crafty.
Right? And it worked great. She loved it. And so Earl was like, I gotta tell my boss about this.
Yeah.
And so he took it to his boss, showed him, and he was like, you're right, this should be a thing. And so then they took it to pharmacists, and it was not popular.
Really? What?
They only sold $3,000 worth of these rolled Band-Aids, these bandages, the first year they were out. And Johnson & Johnson was like, people didn't understand what it was that they could be buying.
Yes. This is like the story of Febreze, where people didn't know they needed it until Febreze explained they needed it.
Wait, I smell? So they put out ads that detailed how to use this rolled up bandage. They educated pharmacists and the traveling salesmen who were out, you know, telling people, this is what it is. This is how it works. See, for your accident prone wife in the kitchen, this would be great. So they went from $3,000 in sales in 1921 to 1924 and the pre-cut bandage we all know today. So between 1921 and 1924, it was just the big chunk. Mm-hmm. And then somebody was like, hey, how about we just cut these into bite-sized pieces?
How did they, I'm thinking like wax paper would work really well for a backing.
You know, and I think it's one of these things where we had World War One and people were doing a lot of medical stuff. And then they figured out, oh, there were ways to keep these things clean and sterile and in that fancy little tin.
Yeah. Yeah, because the tin would stay dry and...
Yeah, so you could whack your thumb with an axe while chopping wood and Band-Aid. But then Band-Aids went on, in 1968, they went to the moon on Apollo 8.
Oh, that's fun.
Right? In 1975, there was a Band-Aid commercial, and I'm wondering if you can complete the jingle. I'm stuck on Band-Aid brand.
Because Band-Aid's stuck on me.
Yep.
I knew it before. I'm like, I know that jingle. That is the jingle of my childhood. And
me
I can
too.
See the commercial right now. Happy children with a finger in the air. And
yep. In the bathtub, Band-Aids mm-hmm. still sticking. There was even a commercial where they would stick Band-Aids to a dry egg and then lower it into boiling water. I couldn't remember that. I could remember the kids with Band-Aids on, but not... the boiling water egg.
Yeah, I don't remember the boiling water one. Adult me would be like, yeah, that's awesome. Kid me would be like, ew. Why are we boiling the Band-Aids?
Yep. And then they just kind of cruised along. In 2017, they had an innovation for touchscreen friendly Band-Aids.
Oh, yes. I have had a pointer finger. Mm-hmm. Someone cut it with a knife.
Ooh.
A couple times.
Ouch.
And it becomes very difficult to do life now without a pointer.
Yeah, or the thumb. Like if my right thumb has a Band-Aid on it, it's like you can just send me out to pasture, push me into traffic. I can't use my thumb on my phone.
No. Like you're out with your middle finger and then doing everything speech to text.
Oh, no. Yeah, I don't do that speech to text. I'm not capable. Oh. You do it. You do speech to text like a boss.
Oh, yeah. I do it everywhere, too. And my children are mortified by it.
Especially it's the Band-Aids are cool, period.
Oh, yeah. It can be awkward. Back to Band-Aids.
Yes. Okay, so we're going a little out of order because my timeline's out of order. 1994 was the end, although clearly not now, but it was the end of the tin Band-Aid container.
Sad.
I know. And but now, you know, they're retro, so we'll bring them back. 2000, the billionth Band-Aid was produced.
Oh, wow. I can see that. I use a lot of them.
Yeah. And then... okay, so I'm going to take a slightly different turn here. It wasn't until 2021 that Johnson & Johnson Band-Aid brand made Band-Aids that were not just for white skin.
Yes, and not even white skin. It's like weird putty-colored people. None of us are at... there's nobody in the world that's actually Band-Aid colored.
No, not really. But I mean, you're closer. You're closer if you're on the...
for sure. It's in the shade range. It's
pale,
not that
scale.
Noticeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When asked about it over the years, they'd say, well, you know, there's too many shades. What can we do? So in 1995, they did come up with a clear Band-Aid. And I remember those. They don't stick very well.
They're sweaty and weird.
Yeah, because they're kind of plasticky.
Yeah. I like the idea. It was a good thought.
It was a good thought. I read an Atlantic article. They quote a 66-year-old black woman named Arundu Johnson. She said of ads at the time, she told her kids the bandages said flesh color, and I'd explain that's not your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
The Band-Aids were even a point of contention with the Black Panthers. There's this cartoon of a man in like a leather jacket, and he's got this white Band-Aid on his head, and it was like, look at this. They can't even make us Band-Aids.
Wow, that goes back a ways then.
It goes back a long ways. Now they make them in a variety of tones, and there are a lot of other companies that make Band-Aids since like the mid-80s that have stickable bandages in a variety of shades, but often Band-Aids, like the Johnson & Johnson brand, are cheaper just because of market share. There are so many of them.
Yes.
That, but they turned it around, 2021. Good job. So
oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we had neon Band-Aids way before anyone with brown skin could have a Band-Aid that matched
them.
Oh,
the neon Band-Aid. That's right.
Well, I'm glad that that is more accessible and less expensive now.
Me too. Yeah, me too. So that is the story of I'm stuck on Band-Aid brand because Band-Aids are stuck on me.
I love that. That's a little piece of childhood. I sling Band-Aids like I'm Daddy Warbucks. Everybody can have Band-Aids. I'm not Scroogey at all. And fancy ones, go for it. If that says I love you or you're going to be okay, you have it. Ah, it's a charming story.
Right. Oh, he was thinking of his wife who kept chopping off her fingers, but we made Band-Aids.
My aunt has one of the really old tins out at the lake, and it still contains Band-Aids. And there are several in there that are very vintage that we all ignore because we know those aren't going to stick.
Not a bit.
A little time capsule.
Yeah, when I told Chaz they haven't made them since 1995, he stood there for a little bit, and he was like, how old are all the tins I have in my fishing gear? And I was like, old, buddy.
Probably antique.
Old.
Yeah. Yes, because they're our childhood tins. Oh, my goodness. You know what else I wanted as a child with tins is the lip gloss in a tin. And I did conquer that. I got those. And then you realize that's not that great. It's a little bit difficult. What do you do with the residue on your finger? Do you find a dry spot and rub it on? I don't know.
Yeah, but those lip smacker little tiny tins, they would click open.
Oh, yes.
Oh, and you want to talk about the original fidget toy?
Yes.
Oh, those were so good.
We've just given a small gift, a small sensory gift to every Gen Xer right now. So there you go. The other thing, and this is another one for me. I so longed for Sucrets. Those tins were the coolest and they had commercials. And I'm like, those are so tidy. Look at the little things. And they're so great. And so I think my dad had a cold. And it was a real cold, not like us kids. And he actually needed a cough drop. And at some point, Mom bought them. And I remember trying them and they
not were good.
So gross. Oh, yeah. Yep. Like, no. Never mind. I would like some Smiths or Ludens again, please. Things in tins. Thank you for giving us the lowdown on Band-Aids.
You're welcome.
You can drop a line. BrainJunkPodcast@gmail.com. Always find us on Facebook and Instagram. You message us there, pop up a fun thing. We're there. We're watching.
That sounds ominous.
Yeah. Like Big Brother, and we're expecting you to like and subscribe. Smash that button, please. But please do wherever you listen, like, you know, the smart speaker thing and
YouTube.
Yes, YouTube. Find us on YouTube. You can just start it up at work and listen if your boss is cool with that. All right. Trace and I will catch you next time when we share more of everything you never knew you wanted to know. And I guarantee you will not be bored.